Welcome to a special postseason edition of Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. If you're a Texans fan, the three of us did a live breakdown of Jags Texans on Sunday, and we'll be dropping a Bills Texans preview Thursday. You can find all of that on our other YouTube channel, Sportsmap Texans, or in audio form at your favorite podcast app. Just search Texans on Tap. Guys, the marathon, that is the regular season, is over, albeit a game early for Houston. The sprint, that is the wild card series, starts this week. Tigers Astros is a matchup of two teams, both with improbable paths to the postseason. AJ Hinch returns to Minute Maid Park, looking to derail Houston's quest to reach an eighth straight ALCS and a fifth World Series appearance since 2017. Charlie, Detroit, they come into this series as hot as any team in MLB. And let's start with Detroit's rotation, which includes Tuesday starter Tarek Skubal, who is pitching just on a different level right now. What sticks out to you about the challenges Houston's top-heavy and sometimes run-challenged offense faces against Detroit?
Yordan health update. I mean, that's obviously one pendulum with which this series swings. Among other things, Yordan, a guy who crushes lefties, and in Game 1, the Astros face the best lefty in baseball this year. Emmanuel Clase, unreal for the Cleveland Guardians, their closer. But anyone who does not vote Skubal for the American League Cy Young Award is a fool. 18-4 from day one to the season's end. He was the personification of an ace. He's an 18-game winner. Detroit doesn't have anyone else with 8 wins on its staff. They dealt their number two starter, Jack Flaherty, at the deadline. He was a 7-game winner. Skubal leading the league in earned run average, 2.39. Led the league in strikeouts, well over 200 in about 190 innings pitched. Nasty repertoire. That said, he's beatable. The Astros pinned one of the four losses on him. 4 earned runs and 6 1/3 innings back in June. And it's just one start, right? Framber Valdez has a very baseball bipolar postseason record. Skubal could be fantastic in Game 1, and the Astros could win the game 2-1, or 3-2, or 1-0. One bloop hit, one error, and that's why if the Tigers win the series, it's barely an upset. Right? The Astros' DNA, trying for 8 straight ALCS appearances, 5 World Series appearances in this dynastic run, but especially in a 2 out of 3, don't blink or it can be over, win or lose. So the Astros pedigree against these Tigers, who are these guys? Well, these guys, since the All-Star break, better record than the Astros, best record in the American League, 31-11 finishing kick to get in the playoffs before basically no showing the last two games against the White Sox. The Tigers, you look at their offensive numbers and you go, geez, not much there. But their team changed so much the second half of the season. Some of it personnel, some of it performance. The season-long statistics you can largely dismiss. But Skubal is a beast. Good Framber, though, is a very strong match for him. I know that among some Astros fans, observers, maybe within that locker room, Skubal in Game 1. Well, you know what? If they've gotten Kansas City, Cole Reagans is damn good. And in Game 2, Seth Lugo, the probable Cy Young runner-up in the American League, if it's not Clase, the Tigers, it's a much sharper drop-off from Skubal. So if the Astros can get Game 1, it doesn't mean it's over, but it'll be much more of a commanding position for a best-of-3 series than 1-0 would be compared to, say, being up 3-0 in a best-of-7 series. But Yordan's health is a definite pivot point for this Astros lineup, because without them, without Yordan, I mean, in one game or in a short series of game, of course they could go off and score 8-9 runs. But without Yordan, the Astros lineup is mediocre.
Look, you expect Skubal to be great, and maybe you get a, you know, some kind of pitcher's duel or something in Game 1. Certainly a possibility, but I'm kind of on the Yordan part of this for me. I was like, let me look back. What was the division series like last year for the Astros? They weren't in the wild card, but their first playoff games, what did it look like? Well, the only player with multiple hits in that first game last year in the ALDS, you guessed it, Yordan. 3 RBIs in that game. The second game, 2 RBIs for Yordan. Those were the only 2 runs that were driven in that game. And then the third game, Yordan had 3 hits. That was the same game where Abreu went off with the 5 RBIs. But point being, Yordan really was carrying the load for the Astros in those games to start the postseason last year. So for me, you know, it's not the end of the world if he's not healthy and doesn't play. Anything can happen. It's baseball. But Yordan, it's a huge deal if he's going to be able to come out there. We got some, you know, got some news, going to be doing some baseball activities. I think they're going to try a knee brace with him. So at least that's positive rolling in their favor. But that's where I'm looking at. Is Yordan going to be right for this series? Can he be the difference maker that the Astros have counted on now for years?
Right. Baseball activities. It's a baseball game Tuesday, the first of at least two, maybe three very important ones. Couple quick thoughts specific to game one. Skubal, left-hander. John Singleton sits. 150 hitter against lefties. Diaz catches. Caratini first base would be my play with Fromber. I think Caratini's looked a little bit better defensively at first base than Yiner. Behind the plate, I think it's six on one hand, half a dozen on the other. Conversely, and in game one, and if this goes to a third game, right? Hunter Brown starts game two for the Astros. If it's 1-1, winner takes series on Thursday, it's Yusei Kikuchi, and it would be a short leash, as all decisive games are. But that's two lefties for the Astros in the three games. And Fromber in game one is applies. The Tigers have two offensive players who are head and shoulders for the season better than everyone else in their lineup. Outfielder Riley Green, 24-year-old, borderline five-tool, breakout, first-year all-star this season. Left-handed hitter. Destroyed righties this year. Against lefties, he had 213. Maybe even more important than that, because Green's going to be in there. Kerry Carpenter, the best rate numbers, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, 930 OPS for the season, right? That's in range of Yordan. Except Kerry Carpenter, an utter platoon player. A.J. Hinch barely played him against left-hand pitching this year. 28 at-bats the entire season against lefties. He missed a couple of months injured, but we're talking 250 at-bats, 28 of them against lefties, three hits. It's a 107 batting average, 10 strikeouts and 28 at-bats. So between Fromber and Kikuchi, two of those three games by the chalk, which often goes out the window in small sample size, but that is neutralizing the two best and most potent bats in the Tiger offense. That could be an advantage Astros, and I know some would get nervous about this, but in the Hunter Brown start, before you get to Abreu-Presley hater territory, you know, Green is leading off and Carpenter's batting third. That's the little window where a Brian King or a Caleb Ferguson could get the call if Hinch is going, or if a spot is going to the bullpen in the fifth, sixth inning, where you have those two lefties in a tight cluster, just a little bit of the inside baseball within this series. But the Tigers, their offense has improved dramatically. I don't want to kick Javier Baez while he's down, but I'm kicking him. What an atrocious ball player. An idiotic contract the Tigers gave him when Carlos Correa said no thanks to 10 years, $275 million. Baez has been a baseball bum. I mean, way worse than Maldonado was the last 3 years as an offensive player. Baez this year, back surgery, ended his season. And sneak peek of part of what's in the series preview column, the Tigers shortstop now, 24-year-old rookie Trey Sweeney, they got him in the Flaherty trade. Baez goes down. A.J. Hinch couldn't play him anymore. Didn't have to play him because he has a six-year, $140 million contract. Done for the season. Sweeney's been not real good, but by comparison, way better than Baez. And boys and girls, Trey Sweeney's cousin is the actress, Sydney Sweeney. Think people will be looking for her in a stands or in a luxury box on Tuesday? It's also a rookie at second base for the Tigers. A guy named Colt Keith that gave the job and a six-year, $28 million contract before he played a big league game. Coming out of spring training, first month and a half, oh my God, he was terrible. 152 OPS, 399, almost impossible to be that bad. Well, from May 6th forward, which is the bulk of the season, Colt Keith's been better than Jose Altuve. So the Tigers have some weaponry in there, better than the statistics may look on the surface, but especially the lefty thing, Fromber, Kikuchi, maybe isolated spot in the bullpen, Hader in the ninth inning if it was a one-run game, that Riley Green against lefties. Will Hinch even play Kerry Carpenter against lefties? I think it's a significant subplot in the series.
For every deep postseason run during this era, Alex Bregman has been a critical part of it. He had a great August in this season and then a not great September. This could be his last postseason with Houston. How likely do you guys think we are to see one more vintage run out of Alex Bregman?
Well, the elbow seems to have calmed down nicely, right? I've been DHing lately. And, you know, not to put too much on that one debacle Wednesday afternoon for Shea Whitcomb, but it probably takes him off the playoff roster. So if you have to go to DeCenzo, you know, or Dubon, where you're trading down offensively, obviously, if Jordan's going to play at all, it's going to be exclusively a DH. So that Bregman's there at third is very important. Three home runs over his last seven games played. So if he's sound physically, you hope that he produces, and especially if Alvarez can't go, you need it from among Altuve, Bregman, Diaz, Tucker, because anything lower than that in the lineup, it could happen, but there's not much reason to expect quality productivity. The big dollar, big name, big star guys, you expect to do the heavy lifting. But remember 2022, Altuve starts 0-for-25, and Jeremy Peña turns into a three-week super-duper star. So especially in a short series, and never more in the shortest possible playoff series, one the Astros have not had to navigate as a division champion before, best of three. You know, to say that guy has to produce, or that guy can't flop, we just don't know.
And we don't know what version of Jordan we're going to get. How important is it to get a peak Alex Bregman in this series? And it's his clutch factor and his ability to not always try and pull everything in big moments, you know, hit the ball the other way. He's just a smart ball player and such a great defender at third base. When you got Fromber throwing all those ground balls, trying to get some double plays, Bregman's going to be a huge part of that. So just that clutch factor, he's typically, you know, he can be smart against tough lefties. If they'll just, sometimes they try to just paint the outside corner on him because they know he likes to pull the ball, but he knows that they know that about him. So he doesn't mind in big situations, just slap the ball down the right field line. And that could be huge because you don't know what you're going to get from Jordan. I'm curious to see what's the batting order going to look like in a big game like this. You know, how's Espada going to put that together? I know we have some ideas, but they've been kind of tinkering with it. But yeah, I think Bregman's obviously going to be a big part of this.
On the flip side, you know, Astros bring Fromber Valdez, Hunter Brown, and a rotation of starters that have, against all odds, been the backbone of their run to a seventh straight full season division title. Fromber has had his glorious and forgettable postseason moments. Hunter Brown has emerged as one of Houston's most dominant and consistent starters, but this will be his first time being premiered as a frontline starter in the postseason. Charlie, you've hit on this a little bit, but just in the big picture, how do you like in this short series, Houston's pitching versus the scrappy Tigers offense?
Game one, edge Tigers, but not by a long shot. Fromber Valdez was sensational himself, really, over the last 3 months of the season. But Scooble's been the best pitcher in the league. Game two, it tilts Astros significantly. I think the Tigers are going to go with Reese Olson, second-year guy who's capable but not nearly as talented as Hunter Brown. When the Astros beat Scooble, by the way, it was Hunter Brown who threw seven shutout innings at the Tigers in his hometown. And then if it gets to game three, right, okay, the idea of the Astros being invulnerable when Yusei Kikuchi starts, that snapped in the loss to Seattle, but not because of Kikuchi. He threw six innings without giving up an earned run. So he's 10 for 10, basically, in doing his job and going to the mound for the Astros. The Tigers, to me, that's almost a bullpen game for them. And there are two wild cards in terms of how you play postseason baseball. For the Astros, it's Ronel Blanco. You expect Fromber to go at least six. I think you expect Hunter Brown to go six. But if not, or it's Kikuchi in game three, who's more of a five, six-inning guy, Blanco's the multi-inning blowtorch coming out of the bullpen. You know, no Caleb Ortz or Caleb Ferguson's, you know, whoever the last couple of guys in the bullpen are. If you go starter to Hector Neris, to me, clearly behind Blanco. Now, if your starters are going deep and you win this series in three, then Blanco starts game one against Cleveland on Saturday, but that's cart ahead of the horse stuff. But I expect in at least one game in the series, unless the starting pitching is just spectacular and you need no middle setup relief, Blanco plays a role. Conversely, for the Tigers, the last week of the regular season, they called up Jackson Jobe, who basically is considered the best pitching prospect in the minors this year. He came up, he made two appearances, fastball 101, where he can just air it out from the go out of the pen, four innings, one hit allowed, no earned runs. I think that's AJ Hinch's pitching wild card in some game in the series, especially if he gets competent starts the first two games and there's a game three where they don't have a starter that you're thinking, okay, he looks like a fair match for Kikuchi, and Hinch could go to the bullpen real early in that situation.
Yeah, off of Charlie's point, Detroit, they've started 14 different pitchers this season. So there's a lot of, how is AJ Hinch going to do this, you know, after game one especially? But I kind of zeroed in on Fromber a little bit. I guess I'll start with the positive. He's only pitched in one wild card game in his career, and that was in 2020, the pandemic season. He pitched it against the Twins. Five innings, two hits, zero runs. You'll take that. Fantastic. But if we go to Fromber most recently, if we look at 2023, it wasn't great. That first game against the Twins, he went 4 1/3, seven hits, five runs, and a homer. And that first ALCS game against the Rangers, 2 2/3 innings, seven hits, five runs, a homer. When he faced the Rangers again in game six, five innings, five hits, three runs, two homers. So it got a little better there. And if you look back to 2022, he won three or four games. He never allowed more than two runs in a game that whole playoff run in 2022. So as we know as Astros fans, is it going to be good Fromber or is it going to be bad Fromber? Typically with him, we know pretty early in the game. I bet we'll know in the first couple innings what kind of Fromber we're getting that afternoon. And now we know all those games are like 1:30, right? All three games. So here we go again. Astros playing in the afternoon. Something we're clearly used to around here.
Game one, it cuts equally both ways. You just don't know. But both Skubal and Fromber are going on a week's rest, right? They each pitched this past Tuesday. The Tigers securing their playoff spot Friday meant they did not have to use Skubal on Sunday, right? If the Astros are going to play the Tigers, the ideal was the Tigers went down to the last day of the regular season, had to use Skubal, and takes them out of the wild card series, except for 3 days rest if there is a game three. So who has command early? And if it's a low scoring, you know, tautly played game, as you'd expect with these two guys on the mound, where one mistake, one bounce of a curveball, you know, could really swing the outcome of the game if it's a low scoring game overall.
Give me your X factors and any other final thoughts to watch for in this series.
I mean, Josh Hader's been a bit too adventurous too often for what he was acquired to be, but I think he gets the check mark in the closer battle in this series. Jason Foley of the Tigers, he's all right. But he's not a high strikeout guy, right? The Astros generally are a put the ball in play team, though they have their share of high strikeout guys too, because all teams do these days. Holton, vapor locking on his first names, the guy who's come on 94 innings pitched, only 57 hits allowed. And the Tigers have a couple of setup guys and, you know, who gets moved to the bullpen. If you're the Astros, you just trust that who you've been over the last 8 years, basically, comes to the surface. You know, they're not going to go. Are the Tigers too young and dopey to be uptight? You know, if they lose game one with Skubal, is it, oh boy, we're up against it now? Because any team could beat any other team two games in a row. That if you're up 1-0, it's not like you have a stranglehold on the things. So, you know, I don't see any fundamental reason to pick against the Astros in this series, other than anyone thinking, well, they have a much better team than the Tigers. No, they don't. The Astros won 88 games. The Tigers won 86. The Tigers had a better record than the Astros over the last 3 months. The Tigers had a better record than the Astros over the last 1 month. The Tigers also amassed their victory total in a much tougher division, right? The White Sox were trash. Everyone else was over 500, right? American League West. And how about those Mariners finishing on a worthless four-game winning streak? Finished with a winning record, but then Rangers, A's, Angels. Worser, and worsest. So anyone thinking the Tigers, because they're not a brand name team or they're in the playoffs for the first time since 2014, this should be cake for the Astros. No. Don't have those thoughts. I'm sure the Astros don't.
I think X factor for me, the guy we all wanted last year, but we didn't get to see him, Yainer Diaz. Is he going to be a big big piece of the offense that really helps them take off, especially if we don't know what we're going to get from Yordan. And can he take that next step? And we know how the knock on him is he'll chase pitches out of the zone when it kind of gets in a stressful type situation. Is he going to go up there and be swinging out of his shoes and being a little too aggressive, or is he going to do what helped him finish with a really nice batting average this year? They put up the numbers. I think he finished in like the top five for batting average in the AL, if not top five, top 10. So can Yiner take that season long success and perform that way and be patient in the postseason and show what a difference it is between having his bat in the lineup versus Maldonado's last year? So I'll be watching. Can Yiner be that other big bat that carries the Astros?
He had a very funky season. Overall, a very good season because he produces as a catcher, and there's just not a whole lot of offense at the position. But Yiner was better offensively in his rookie season. While the numbers overall good, 775 OPS, right in that range, he had three different stretches this season, including the way he ended the season, of more than a month, more than 100 at-bats with zero home runs. Remarkable given Yiner's amazing raw power, but he just didn't elevate the ball consistently this year. So he's in the middle of a real home run drought going into the postseason. But past performance, no guarantee of future results. And when Yiner hit his 16 home runs this season, well, if you combine your three droughts that total about 4 months hitting zero, when he hits them, they come in clusters. Remember the first long stretch this year where he was homerless? He homered in four consecutive games. So you never know where it's going to come from. Keep going back to Pena in 2022. If Yiner rediscovers the power stroke, he's a guy that can turn a series. No question about that.
I'm glad that I had notes for multiple selections on wild cards, considering my first note was bullpen, second note was Yiner Diaz. So for the sake of not being redundant, I'll go with experience, Houston's experience. This is Detroit's first trip to the postseason in 10 years. The Astros expect to be here on a yearly basis. I like their ability to live in the moment for it to not be too big. And even the guys in the lineup from 5 to 9, most of them have been along for the ride in some form or fashion. So I do like Houston's experience as an X factor. Before we go, gents, I'm going to put you on the spot. Series predictions. We'll start with you, Charlie.
I like series that go the distance, the drama of that win or die final game. As I said earlier, I don't see any fundamental reason to pick against the Astros, and they're the home team in all three games, and there are no willies over the Astros playing at home and in 2024. So I'll take the Astros in three.
I'm basically in the same boat. Sorry, I wish I could make it more exciting. I think game one's going to be tough. I think the Astros are going to be pushed to the brink here, have to come up with some wins in game two and game three.
That's going to be unanimous. That's going to be me as well for Houston in three. Nothing has come easy for Houston all season. I don't expect it to start now. That'd be cool. I'm rooting for that. But I think the reality is that game one matchup is going to be very, very pivotal to how long this series goes. And I do think this goes the distance for three games. That's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Stros. Again, we will be live following every game on YouTube for the Wild Card Series starting on Tuesday. So we invite you to come back, watch us then. We hope you're along for the ride with us for what we hope is a long, extended postseason run for Houston. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon. Thanks for watching. Till next time. Go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.